It's Arthur Idala on AM 970. The Answer.
This is the Arthur Idala Power Hour with quintessential New Yorker attorney Arthur Idala, New York's go-to lawyer. He's here to share his stories from in the courtroom and around the city with interviews from high-profile guests and everyday folks calling in to talk about everything from politics, lifestyle, health and wellness, and more. And now your host, making the case for the city he loves, attorney Arthur Idala.
All right, it is 6:03 on a Tuesday night. It's Arthur Idala. I'm here with Matt Sambolino. What's up, Sambolino?
What's up, Arthur? How we doing?
All is good. We got a great, great, great show ahead of us. Joni Pelzer in the house.
Is my mic up? I have to always wait for my mic.
Yes,
if I don't see it's green, I don't know it's up.
It's only green when you talk, Joan. If you don't talk into it, doesn't go green. See, it's not green. Now talk. Go ahead, Joan.
Talk.
Thank you. Wow. We're on 3 years almost, Sambolino. Now she's figuring that out. So we have a great, great, great show coming up. I got Judge George Grasso coming back on to talk about what happened today at the Trump trial. We have Chief Chell, Chief of Patrol of the NYPD, and Kaz Daughtry, Deputy Commissioner of Operations from the NYPD. So we are going to get a lot of inside scoop from a lot of different people about a lot of different topics. I want to just touch on what we just heard on John Katzimatidis' show and Rita Cosby's show. I will tell you, Ben Carson spoke today at the PAL, the Police Athletic League Luncheon. He was amazing. Now, you hear the way he speaks, like, you know, he's very soft-spoken, and he speaks very slowly, and I think that's the reason why he was not successful in being a president of the United States, although he wound up getting a cabinet position. He was so good. I go to these Police Athletic League lunches all the time, and there have been fantastic speakers there. Some better than others. They're all good, but some are fantastic. He was fantastic. even keeled, great points. He's a very smart man. He threw out names and quotes and statistics going back to the 1800s and 1600s and then the 1960s because he worked in the Trump administration to some degree, he shunned or some silly stuff like that. He made so much sense. You know, I'll give you one example. He's like, if you read the initial documents of this country, the United States of America, the term for the common good is mentioned so many times. And we've lost our way about the common good. It's the fossil fuel people think the green people are crazy. The green people think the fossil fuel people are almost like terrorists. He didn't use that term, but I am. And then he said, but if the green people just looked at it, we have found such efficient ways to use and burn and fossil fuel that our environment is cleaner than ever, and that's not because of the 0.01% of electric cars we use. And if the fossil fuel guys looked at the green people, they have some great ideas. But everyone goes into their respective corner like it's a boxing match, as opposed to getting in the middle and saying, okay, let's the green people, you know, let's take your ideas and see how we can incorporate them into the fossil ideas, and the fossil people, let's do the same with the green people, and let's work together. And I will tell you, he made so much sense. You know, even the one time it was not a political speech. By the way, Dr. Ben Carson, who is literally a brain surgeon, talked about a case where he was in the airport recently and a man ran up to him and he was like, Dr. Carson, you would never remember me, but 30 years ago, you know, my daughter was terminally ill and everyone said she would never make it, and you operated on her 30 years ago, and last month we celebrated her 33rd birthday. And he wound up running for president of the United States. He wound up with a cabinet position. He was homeless. He was living in Detroit. He was hungry. He had a father who he knew who had a whole other family. which caused his mother to divorce him. I mean, people talk about having a rough life, but he said, I learned how to read, and reading took me anywhere I wanted to go. And it also made me realize there are no boundaries. I don't need any boundaries. No one was going to tell me how far I could go, the color of your skin. And I mean, and I just started reading and studying and studying and reading. And I, you know, science caught my eye. And first I wanted to be a psychiatrist. And then then when I got to medical school, I just really took on the whole thing about surgery. He was fantastic. But what he said about this country and his fear for this country about where we're going with the hard right and the hard left was spot on. And at the end, just so you know, some people ask questions. I John Katsimatidis said, yo, last question. And I said, I'm Arthur Idala. Thanks to John Katsimatidis. I've been coming to these PAL lunches for over a decade. I said, you were really amongst the greatest, greatest speaker we ever had. And everyone burst out in applause. And I actually asked him a question about artificial intelligence, which, you know, he said, look, there are tremendous pros and there's tremendous cons and we're going to have a tremendous amount of willpower. He said, you know, not too long from now, we're going to be able to keep people alive until, you know, they're 120 and 150. And then he said, you know, but should we? And that'll be a moral decision. So, it was really, I know Ben Carson's got a podcast. I know you heard about the Cornerstone Foundation that he talked about, which I'm definitely going to do some research and look up what it's all about. It was really, really, really very good. And he's clearly a great American. And I don't want to hear, oh, he's a Republican or he's a Democrat. He's an American. He's a great American for the common good. That was his, that's what he's all about, for the common good. So speaking of the for the common good, we're going to take a break in a minute, and then we're going to have George Grasso come in for the common good. He's going to tell you exactly what happened in the courtroom today, because he was in the courtroom today. Then we'll break at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to have Daughtry, the Deputy Commissioner of Operations. We're going to talk a little bit about all the new recruits coming out of the NYPD that we're getting, which is wonderful. And Chief Chell about the insanity going on at Columbia and NYU. You know, and it's amazing at the New York Times. Their headline is Columbia offers its students remote learning. No, they didn't offer remote learning. They shut down the classrooms and there's only remote learning for, I mean, there's only whatever, a week left of school or something like that. But how about that? You pay all that money. Your college ends April 29th, I think it is. But they didn't offer remote learning. It is only remote learning. They've shut down the campus. Columbia, NYU, right? These are supposedly the smartest people. And wait till you hear, I know because I did a pre-interview, wait till you hear what Chief Chell has to talk about what went on at NYU last night and how insane it was. So I don't want anyone to go away. I do want to wish a happy birthday to Lee Majors, otherwise known as the $6 million man. He's 85 years old today, which is pretty cool. I grew up watching the $6 million man. I had the little like model of the $6 million man. And not to be outdone, Valerie Bertinelli, which I believe is she Three's Company or no, the other one.
No, no.
The House.
Joyce DeWitt.
One Day at a Time.
One day at a time. Thank you. One day at a time.
And Valerie she was Bertinelli. Married to
the guitarist from Van Halen.
Yeah, and his son, Wolfie, is an amazing musician.
There you go. All right, it is the Arthur Idala Power Hour. And, you know, if you guys are around tonight, I'm doing ABC Prime, which I believe is their digital platform, at 7. And then apparently I'm on CNN from 8 p.m. till, I think, 11 or 10:30 or something like that. And then I'll go home and collapse.
8 p.m. till 11 p.m.
Yeah, on and off, on and off. They bounce you in and out. Sambolino, thank you for all your hard work. You're the best. Joni, don't go anywhere. We can't live without you. All right, it's Arthur Idala. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with retired Judge George Grasso, who was in the courtroom today at the Trump trial. Don't go away.
My name is Imran Ansari, and I lead the Civil Litigation Division of Idala, Bertuna & Kamens, the preeminent New York litigation law firm. Have you been injured in a construction site accident? Have you fallen from a scaffold, ladder, or height while on the work site? If the answer is yes, then you may be entitled to significant monetary compensation for your injuries. In most cases, the law in New York favors you, as the plaintiff, if injured in a fall while working on someone else's property. It is important you speak to an attorney right away to make sure your rights are protected. Myself and our team of experienced trial attorneys will never settle for less than what you deserve. We are always ready to go to court to fight for you and seek justice. If you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, don't delay. Call Idala, Bertuna & Kamens at 212-486-0011, 212-486-0011, or visit us at idalalaw.com. Idala, Bertuna, and Kamens, fighting for justice, fighting for you.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala here for Bay Ridge Honda, run by my longtime family friend, Rob Sabah. The Sabah family owned and operated Honda dealer for over 60 years is there for one reason, their outstanding customer service. The Sabah family at Bay Ridge Honda makes you feel like you're part of their family when you come in to make one of the big decisions in your life, which car to purchase. And to kick off spring, Bay Ridge Honda is offering $0 deals all month long. That's right, zero down deals. On top of that, APR rates as low as 1.9% and no payments until summer of 2024. 90 days of no payments. Bay Ridge Honda has the best prices around and they will offer you top dollar for your trade-in. You name it, they have it. Brand new Hondas like the all-new Honda Civic, Honda HR-V, CR-V, the Honda Accord, and the Honda Passport. They have them all ready for you to drive off today. Bay Ridge Honda serves all five boroughs and every new vehicle comes with their Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your service maintenance needs. So visit Bay Ridge Honda, 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, or online at bayridgehonda.com.
Worried about inflation, digital currencies, political turmoil, and the future of your investments? It's time to take control with Conservative Wealth Protection Group. During these times, central banks are buying gold and precious metals at record levels. But the question is, are you? With access to the cheapest bullion in the nation, we have a deep understanding of the precious metals markets. We'll reveal strategies that both the wealthy and everyday patriots just like you are using to get the most out of their tax-deferred retirement plans. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, we provide guidance without high-pressure sales tactics. Our No Fees for Life IRA program offers the lowest prices on precious metals, along with tax-free and penalty-free transfers. Explore your options with a free consultation. Call 888-538-0111. That's 888-538-0111. Protect your family and your investments. Call 888-538-0111.
Hi, everybody. It's Arthur Idala, and we all know that planning for the future is important. Are you and your family protected? If you're not around to make the decisions, who will? Are your assets protected from probate and nursing home costs? The time to plan is now. Wills, trusts, power of attorneys, healthcare proxies, living wills, your overall estate plan. What are you going to do? You're going to attend a Connors & Sullivan free seminar and have all of your questions answered by Mike Connors himself. Wednesday, April 24th at Conley's Corner, Grand Avenue in Maspeth, Queens, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Thursday, April 25th at Don Roberto's, Forest Avenue in Staten Island, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Friday, April 26th, the Adria Hotel, Northern Boulevard, Bayside, Queens, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Monday, April 29th at the Greenhouse Cafe, 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. And Tuesday, April the 30th at Buckley's Restaurant in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. If you can't make any of these free seminars, call Connors & Sullivan at 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. As Mike Connors always says, the biggest mistake when it comes to estate planning is not planning at all.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
All right, we are burning down the house on a Tuesday night here at Idala, Bertuna, and Kamens. Happy Passover. We're so lucky because back here live again in our office at my desk at my studio, I have retired Judge George Grasso. I think many of you know him by now. He guest hosted last week 2 days, and he was here last night. People seem to really enjoy our going back and forth last night. Judge Grasso has been in the courtroom, more or less, or on one of those video screens during the jury selection, when there was really no one in the courtroom except the potential jurors. So throughout, I'm not telling you what I read in the paper. I'm not telling you what I heard on a podcast. We're hearing it from someone who was in the courtroom today on Tuesday for a short day, the Honorable George Grasso. Judge, welcome back.
Great to be here with you, Arthur.
All right. Give it to me, Judge. What happened today?
Well, right off the bat, we had a hearing with respect to 10 specifications of contempt against Defendant Trump. And they were, first there was a batch of three that was before the trial started. And then there was a batch of seven after the trial started. Also, when the hearing began, the DA indicated that there were additional contempt citations that he was going to add at a future date that just happened within the last day or two. And he wasn't going to add them to slow down this particular hearing, but he'd be coming back with them, consider coming back at them at another date. So that really got off with a bang. The DA went, you know, point by point. The thing about this is, these citations is they're all pretty much electronic. So they're on Truth Social. They're on all kinds of social media.
So they can't be denied that they exist.
They can't be denied. So it appeared at one point that Todd Blanche, Trump's defense attorney, who is, I think, doing the best he could with a very, very difficult hand, he was making a big point about reposts. That a number of these things that
right. I know one of them had to do with Jesse Waters from Fox News,
right.
And he just retweeted what something was already there. He didn't add anything.
Well, actually, the one with Jesse Waters' specification was there were several separate ones, but one that emanated from Jesse Waters was specification 10. That was more than a repost, because what the way it was articulated on the record is that Trump did quotes that he added in that were beyond anything Waters had said until 3 hours after that was posted. And in particular, that one really, I would say out of all of them, just from my own perspective, but I think the judge was, my sense is Judge Merchan was treating it the same way, was really the most offensive on the face because it went to a juror.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you remember the general gist of that?
Yeah, the general gist of it was to the effect of undercover liberal activists are trying to find their way onto this jury. Now, the problem with something like that put out by an individual like Defendant Trump, who has such a wide social media reach, is that it potentially makes anyone who was in the jury pool a suspect to certain minds that might be out there of, you know, hordes of undercover liberal activists. So at one point there was a very significant on back and forth between Todd Blanche and Judge Merchan, who I think was exercising like the patience of Job. But at one point,
who was exercising the patience?
Judge Merchan.
Okay,
you know. At one point, Todd Blanche said something like, "My client, you know, Mr. Trump, has been very careful to comply with the court's rules." At that point, Judge Merchan basically cut him off and said, "You are losing all credibility," and it actually. That actually, there was like kind of an audible response in the courtroom. You know, it wasn't like a comedy show, but it was like a people who like who were who,
guessed,
watching. You know, kind of like you know,
wow,
well,
like okay,
well, no, like kind of like laughing almost a little bit.
That I got you.
It appeared to be such an absurd statement because that does not appear to anyone who's really following this what this particular defendant is trying to do. So Judge Merchan basically said, you know, they had a little bit more of a back and forth. He didn't rule from the bench, which I think was very wise, very wise. It basically, I have what I need, because now we were bumping on 11 o'clock. This went on for quite a while. We had to get the
Which prosecutor argued this?
Todd Blanche.
No, no, the prosecutor, the ADA.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The ADA was Joshua
Steinberg.
No.
Susan Hoffinger?
No. Chris, okay. I'm going to say Chris Connor.
Okay, no
yeah,
problem.
No, it was like Chris Conroy.
Okay.
Chris Conroy was the DA who stood up on the contempt. So at that point, the judge told the parties basically he's going to take it all into consideration.
All right, now I want you to take out your crystal ball. Judge Grasso was on the bench for a long time, handled a lot of cases from the misdemeanor land to felony land. What are these judges' options? Realistic.
You mean
options.
if he finds him guilty of contempt citations?
Gotta find him guilty. What is the real options?
I would say we're in the 99.99% mode. He's going to be found guilty of at least one. The strongest out of all of them, I believe, like I said, was Spec 10 involving the juror that Todd Blanche conceded was not a repost. But
I think they were also realistic options.
Well. The DA, actually, when they started out, they did not ask for jail. So it's up to $1,000 per fine, per specification, or up to 30 days in jail per specification. But in the district attorney's application, they steered away from jail because they felt that I don't have their exact words, but it was something to the effect that Trump might even want that. So, essentially he could play the martyr role. So at this point, we're not even asking for it because he may want that.
Did they allude to that in some way?
Yes, okay. They did. Okay. They did. And I thought it was very smart because that's my belief as well. He may be looking to goad the judge into putting him in jail so that he can play the martyr. And by the way, he goes to jail with a Secret Service detail.
He's not going to jail.
It isn't if he were to.
Even if he did, he's not going. People are like, oh, he's going to go to Rikers Island. He's not going to Rikers Island.
A bench in the back, something like that. The people did not ask for that.
I understand.
So they went.
Isn't it kind of a joke, Judge Grasso? What's $1,000 to Donald Trump? He just put up $100-something million cash. I mean, what's $1,000 fine?
I don't think it's a joke.
It's not a real penalty.
No, but here's the thing. And this is why I think the judge reserved decision on it. Everything in this case is precedent. We said that before. This is not only a former president, but as you alluded to yesterday, I believe, someone who very well may become president again. I mean, if the election was tomorrow, I think the odds are
by law, he can only give him $1,000 fine.
Right,
correct?
But what's significant about it is here you got the first trial ever of a former president of the United States, and a finding by a judge that defendant is in contempt of court. That record alone is quite substantial. So I think it's a big deal ruling.
Well, the big deal.
And I think the judge sees it as such.
So I'll play it the other side. The other side of the coin is a big deal ruling because they stifled his First Amendment rights to speak. In other words, you got everyone beating the heck out of Trump. You put on MSNBC. You put on all these news channels. They're crushing this guy. And he's not allowed to say, I'm afraid that there's going to be a stealth juror that comes in and says they can be fair and impartial and convicts me. He didn't say Mershon's daughter should be shot. He didn't say that anything so horrible. And that's why the judge, I think, paused today. Because, yes, I agree, it's 99% he violated it. But it was not a blatant violation. He maybe crossed the line, but he didn't run a mile over the line. I mean, you know, there are people who are held in contempt for really, really blowing through a judge's order. Here, he did mostly, I think you said most of them were retweets, correct?
Well, it seemed a number of them were retweets.
Right.
Yes, that was a major part of the argument. Yeah, but having said that, I frankly don't buy that particular argument, Arthur. I think that in this matter, during the course of this criminal trial, the judge is obligated to see that there's a fair trial and that witnesses and jurors are protected.
I agree.
And this defendant, who clearly knows his way around the block when it comes to a courthouse. I mean, it's kind of like what we're seeing with the E. Jean Carroll case and what we saw with the case with Judge Erdogan, where he's been giving directions by the court and he just feels I can do whatever I want. And the judge would be abdicating his responsibility as a judge if he didn't take this as serious as
no,
it is.
No, I agree. He should take it seriously. But I'm just, my opinion is Donald Trump won't lose one vote if the judge says he's violated and he violated his basically his gag order, which is violating, which many believe is violating his First Amendment rights. Say, hey, I'm on trial. I'm allowed to say I'm innocent. I'm running out of time with you, Judge. Just tell me how they ended for the day and what the plan is for Thursday. They're off tomorrow.
Well, what
right?
we didn't even get to, which I'll give you real quick, after all of that, then David Pecker came back on and he testified at length regarding this, the conspiracy element to this case, which is not a charged crime, but the meeting in October 2015 between Trump that he testified was at Trump's request with him and David Cohen, where they laid out the strategy essentially being carried by the media as catch and kill. So that was testified to. And then at the time that we broke, he just started to testify about the arrangements with Kara McDougal, the former Playboy model, which theoretically, from what we seem to know about the case, is going to go to the $150,000 payoff. So the saga continues.
All right. If we're lucky, we'll have Judge Grasso back on Thursday. That's the next day we're back in court. Judge, I thank you so much for finding the time to come here. I told you, the listeners absolutely love it. My phone blew up yesterday. So hopefully we'll see you or hear from you on Thursday.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a great time. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We're going to come back with a whole bunch of high-powered people from the NYPD talking about crime in the city of New York. We'll be right back.
If you're just jetting around looking for something to do tonight at 7, look no further. Come travel with us. Travel Tuesday. Linda Perillo, Kevin McCullough, talking all the big travel news of the day. And we hope you'll join us. It'll be a fun trip.
Are you ready for an adventure of a lifetime? Journey with me, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, and my friend and colleague Mike Gallagher on the Patriots Alaska Cruise this summer. An incredible opportunity to engage with other like-minded patriots on an epic 7-day cruise over 4th of July weekend. Witness the untouched wilderness of Alaska over pristine water, all while celebrating America's past and future. June 29th to July 6th. Call 855-565-5519 or go to patriotsalaskacruise.com.
Want more AM 970 The Answer? Take us on the go with our Listen Live feature at AM970TheAnswer.com or download our AM 970 The Answer app today. Just go to the iPhone App Store or Google Play Store and search AM 970 The Answer.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala. When you're looking for concrete materials for your next construction project, call on the experts of Diamondback Ready Mix, New York and New Jersey's number one premier family-owned concrete supplier, proudly located on Staten Island, providing concrete services for commercial, municipal, and residential general contractors throughout New York City and New Jersey. The Diamondback Ready Mix Quality is Our Strength service will guide each customer from the initial order through the final pouring, fully insured in New York and New Jersey, and will produce your concrete with the perfect blend of durability, strength, and appearance for your project. Take it from Arthur Idala. Call today and ask for Harry Lynch for personalized service second to none. Call 718-650-5649 for your free estimate. That's 718-650-5649. Or go online to Diamondback Ready Mix. That's REDIMIX.com. Diamondback Ready Mix is the DeFazio Industries company.
Hi, this is Judge Kamens, a partner at Idala, Bertuna & Kamens, and where Arthur Idala of the Arthur Idala Power Hour works at his 24/7 day job. In 2014, I retired from the bench to join ABK, which is a full-service, preeminent boutique firm that has been helping New Yorkers when legal problems arise. ABK is uniquely qualified to assist New Yorkers who have a wide range of legal problems, from personal injury claims and civil litigation to criminal defense and trusts and estates. I personally work on appellate matters, attorney disciplinary matters, and complex legal issues with a dedicated group of attorneys who provide a team approach to each case. There is no legal problem too big or small for this talented and hardworking legal team. So when you think of the Idala Power Hour, also keep in mind ABK, the Power Legal Firm.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala. If you listen to this show regularly, you may have heard me talk about my respect for court reporters. Well, I've got some exciting news for you. The New York State Unified Court System recently held a press conference and declared court reporting as the best career you've never heard of because they have just created a position designed specifically for brand new court reporters. The court reporting trainee position allows new court reporters to enter the court system, making an annual salary upwards of $75,000 with an additional $4,600 in location pay if you live in New York City or Nassau, Suffolk County. To qualify for the position, you don't need any working experience as a court reporter. You just have to graduate from an approved court reporting institution and write at 225 words per minute. If you're not sure if court reporting is right for you, you could take a test drive. Test drive the program through PLAZ's free virtual A to Z program. For more information, email info@plazacollege.edu. That's info@plaza, P-L-A-Z-A college.edu.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or odyssey.com.
We return now with Lifetime New Yorker and legal analyst, attorney Arthur Idala, and the Arthur Idala Power Hour.
There's something happening here.
Little Buffalo Springfield here at AM 970. It's Arthur Idala on the Power Hour. I am joined here with Matt Sambolin and the great Joni Pelza. Joan, aren't you excited for, first of all, how great was Judge Grasso?
Judge Grasso is great every day, and he is so accommodating. He flies here after every single Trump day in court, and it's a pleasure to get the lowdown from the man on the street.
I just hope he doesn't forget, like, where he started.
I know.
Because after yesterday, I got three different media requests
well,
for him.
And so. somebody texted you live last night and then canceled him at the last minute.
That's not right. Out of order.
Out of order.
So, Joan,
but I'm super excited for today's two guests. I'm very, very honored.
Joan, since you're in such a good mood today and you deserve it, why don't you introduce our new guest?
I would love to. It's my pleasure. So our first guest is going to be, and you know, these people have been on with me even before you had them on, when I had, you know, Kemper, when you were on vacation and Kemper was co-hosting with me. We have the great Kaz Daughtry, Deputy Commissioner of Operations for the NYPD, and we have the Chief of Patrol, whom we always love to have on, Chief John M. Chell. So welcome to the show, both of you, and thank you so much for saying yes, especially this week when we know how much is going on.
So let me start off with Deputy Commissioner Daughtry, and let's go with the good news. And the good news is that we have, I believe it's 1,200. I mean, you give me the exact number of new NYPD officers coming online. So why don't you take it away?
Yep. Thank you so much, Ari. Thanks for having me. And yes, we are looking to put 1,200 new cops into the academy. We currently have 33,800 cops right now. We're looking to go back to the number that we had a couple of years ago, which is at 35,000.
So is it exactly 1,200 police officers?
Approximately. Yep.
Okay. All right. And you know what? Just give the listeners a little idea of kind of how it works. Are these guys who are in the academy, graduating from the academy, and then where? How are they deployed?
They're actually in the applicant process right now. We should be having a swearing-in ceremony very soon. But this is still the beginning stages. And you know, listen, Artie, please, we would love to send our recruitment team down on your show. You can play some ads for us. That, you know, we want New Yorkers to be police officers. We want to encourage New Yorkers to be police officers. Come out and serve your community. The salary is pretty good right now. You should get the PBA on so they can talk about
whenever you want. I mean, you know, Chell and Kemp would clog the airways anytime they want. So
I am jumping
you want.
In. You whoever you want on our show, we will gladly support anything the NYPD does. Back the blue. Thank you very much.
So, Artie, here's the really good news. There's 600 graduating next week. There's an additional 600-plus graduating in July. And there's another 600 going in October. But what's even better news is there's 3,000 people who can retire right now and an additional 900 that retire in June. And right now, no one has put in to retire. So
wow.
those will be net numbers. And talking to our personnel people, they truly believe, you know, our great mayor, gave us that great contract, and people are now staying. So,
okay, we got to back up, Chief Chell, because you just gave us a lot of information there. First of all, I know that there's 1,200 cops, but you said 600, 600, 600. I know you and I, neither of us were great at math, but I think that's 1,800.
Well, there's another class slated for October going in, so it'll be a little more. But the key is, it's going to be a net effect. I think our team, Commissioner Dorchin, myself, and our team, we're really big into health and wellness, to give these cops everything they want to the best of our ability. Couple that with a good contract by a mayor and overall sense of worth, if you will, and I think that's the reason why.
So, Commissioner Dorchin, yeah, when you guys get these new recruits, you're the chief of operations, so how do you decide where they go? Who goes to the Bronx? Who goes to Brooklyn? Who goes to Staten Island?
I just want to good question, Artie. Thank you. The 1,200 for fiscal year 2025. 600 plus 600, right? So when the guys are in the academy class, obviously the chief of department, chief of patrol, the police commissioner, and the first deputy commissioner, they sit down, they go over with Mike LePetri, our crime guru, and we look at the commands that are struggling with have an uptick in violence, or we look at the attrition numbers, and also we look at the personnel numbers. And that's how they make a determination. Obviously, the command that's a little uptick in violence are going to get more officers. Like, for a perfect example, transit. A lot of these officers that are coming out of the academy couple of weeks, are going to go to transit. A good portion of them are going to go to transit because we want to keep our transit crime. We want to keep our numbers low in transit. We like where we're at in transit right now.
Okay. I will tell you this. he'll be on Thursday, I hope. Okay, I'm sorry. Joan's telling me Chief Kemper's actually on vacation. Him and Chief Chell are down in the Bahamas together.
I guarantee you Mike Kemper's listening right now.
Okay. So anyway, and this is the truth, and it's good news, actually. I don't remember exactly what subway I was getting on or off of, but I was on the 6th train. I don't know. May have been 68th Street. But anyway, I saw two or three police officers, and they actually stopped and commented on my attire, and they complimented me, and so I stopped and started chatting with them, and I was like, what about this guy Kemper? I go, you know, he seems like he's a hard-working guy. Is he as good as you say he is? And they were like, no, he's good, man. He's got our back. And I guess when you're a leader like that, look, I can tell you, for my little law firm here, if someone asked them privately, like, you know, what's up with this Idala guy, and their answer was, he's a good guy, he's got our back, that's probably that's really what I would like to hear, and it was great to hear them say that. Chief Daughtry, could you, Commissioner, sorry, I don't even know these titles, but could you tell me a little bit more? You know, you said you're happy with transit. Tell me, why do you say that? Give me some good news. I like to highlight the good news on this radio show.
Nope. You know, the first of all, the transit officers, and I can't say this enough, like, when I go around and I talk to people, You hear the good work that the police officers are doing. Let's use transit for a perfect example. When we January, we had an uptick in transit crimes, and the police commissioner surged a bunch of officers into transit. But the NYPD alone, I feel like they don't get enough accolades. They're not acknowledged because they are on the ground every single day doing what we ask them to do, is keep New Yorkers safe. And I feel like that, you know, sometimes that just goes unacknowledged, unnoticed. So I want to shout out to all the officers that are keeping New York safe. And let's talk about what we're doing in transit. We, Chief Shell, he has surged 800 additional CRT officers in there. They're doing transit operations. They are catching low level crimes. For example, theft of service, individual walking through the transit gates, hopping over the turnstile. These small incidents, they turn into big things. We have catch murderers off the street. We have taken murderers out of our transit system. We have taken people wanted for shootings, burglary recidivists, catching them with guns. And plus, the cops in transit are working, Artie. Arrests are up, all-time high, 60%. That's felony and misdemeanor arrests. Summonses are up. And then we don't want everybody to get a summons, but that the cops are out there addressing the quality of life issues that Trappingers want them to address, and that's what these guys are doing.
I'm with you 100%. I will tell you, there was I forget what other train. Oh, I guess it was I went came into Grand Central, but on the subway side of Grand Central, I think there were six cops, and they were all standing on the other side of the turnstile, like where you would be coming in. And, you know, I just said something. I go, I guess no one's jumping the turnstile here. And the guy looked at me like, nope. And as we've spoken to ad nauseum, that's what really matters. What I want to do is I want to take a quick break. I know Chief Chell's in the middle of some important stuff, but I want to come back and I would like Chief of Patrol, John Chell, to address the very, touchy topic, not touchy for me, but for others, of what's going on in Columbia University, NYU University. I bet you there's other places where the anti-Semitism that's going on right now is beyond scary. And, you know, I have so much confidence and trust in you guys. When I heard them that they shut the Brooklyn Bridge the other day, I was so happy I took the subway, and I'm being sincere. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with the Deputy Commissioner of Operations and the Chief of Patrol of the NYPD. Only here on the Idala Power Hour, you get the real news from the real people. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
In an era where it's tough to know which news outlet to trust, at a time where it's difficult to find facts, not just opinion, there is an oasis in the news desert. It's the Katz Roundtable. John Katzimatidis, the personification of the American dream, who built a multi-billion dollar business empire, talks with some of the nation's top newsmakers who are shaping the news cycle in the city, the country, and the world. Catch the Katz Roundtable every Sunday morning, starting at 8 on AM 970. The Answer.
Craving that signature Sunday sauce? Michael's of Brooklyn will make your place a must. Join Michael's of Brooklyn Sauce of the Month Club. Receive a different jar of Michael's of Brooklyn pasta sauce, homemade pasta and biscotti each month for 6 months. Make your home the place to be with Michael's of Brooklyn signature fresh marinara right in your home. Visit michaelsofbrooklyn.com and order online. That's michaelsofbrooklyn.com. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala here for Bay Ridge Honda, run by my longtime family friend, Rob Sabah. The Sabah family owned and operated Honda dealer for over 60 years is there for one reason, their outstanding customer service. The Sabah family at Bay Ridge Honda makes you feel like you're part of their family when you come in to make one of the big decisions in your life, which car to purchase. And to kick off spring, Bay Ridge Honda is offering $0 deals all month long. That's right, zero down deals. On top of that, APR rates as low as 1.9% and no payments until summer of 2024. 90 days of no payments. Bay Ridge Honda has the best prices around, and they will offer you top dollar for your trade-in. You name it, they have it. Brand new Hondas like the all-new Honda Civic, Honda HR-V, CR-V, the Honda Accord, and the Honda Passport. They have them all ready for you to drive off today. Bay Ridge Honda serves all five boroughs, and every new vehicle comes with their Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your service maintenance needs. So visit Bay Ridge Honda, 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, or online at bayridgehonda.com.
Kevin McCullough is next on AM 970, The Answer.
Sevilio, you think I'm going to talk over Sway, over Sticky Fingers by the Rolling Stones? Keith Richards' guitar in this tune. This is insane. This is literally, literally one of my favorite tunes, and it's got to do with the guitar lick. It's like right up there with some of the greats, like Comfortably Numb and Sultans of Swing. All right, well, I got to talk over it because I don't, you know, there aren't too many shows out there where you get two big shots from the NYPD. I have the one and only Chief of Patrol, John Chell. And I have the Deputy Commissioner of Operations, Kaz Daughtry, on the line with us. And guys, there's, and we're all about the same age, as far as I'm concerned, unprecedented activity going on here in New York, at the campus of Columbia, and also at the campus of NYU. There's a pro-Palestinian and anti-Semitism. John Chell, what do we got to say about all of this, buddy?
All right, well, we'll just go back in time. It started last Wednesday in Columbia when you had some protests outside the school. And you had some kids take up the south lawn with illegal tents on the lawn of Columbia. Throughout the day Wednesday, we were in discussions with Columbia how they wanted to handle this. And the key here is this is private property. They dictate when we can come on or come off, barring any crimes being committed, we come on, or any emergencies. So a decision was made last Wednesday that they wanted us to come on the campus on Thursday. We met Thursday and we removed about 108 students or affiliates of the school from the lawn. They all got summonses. But and that went peaceful to the extent that it could. The department did a great job. What was highly disturbing was the kids that left class to surround the quad, if you will, about 500 strong, and the language and the rhetoric and the anti-Semitism, the total disrespect to our cops was quite alarming that this is the youth of Columbia. Since then, you can see Columbia let them back on their campus with probably double the amount of tents. And right now, we're outside the school on standby, policing the outside, and waiting for them to make a decision what they want to do. NYU took up the same posture yesterday in their school, and their president was very quick and aggressive to, again, give us in writing what they wanted to do. And I'll pass it to Commissioner Dorcha. He was there last night. And, again, the bottom line is our department, as far as I'm concerned, is pitching a shutout in professionalism, training, and we are not making the story. We're just keeping the peace, taking people off campuses, and doing our job.
Commissioner Dorcha?
I'll chime in real quick. Thanks, John. I did convene a call with the school leadership for NYU. I'm not going to go into names, but it was the higher-ups in the school leadership there. And they did express to us that they were in negotiation with the students. However, negotiations went a different direction. And they gave the students slash protesters slash agitators slash professional agitators a 4 o'clock deadline to leave. And after 4 o'clock, that they did defy that order from the school. They were in clear violation of the school rules and regulations. How, you know, I want to say it again, the NYPD didn't arbitrarily go into this educational institution. We were asked to go there, asked. And I convened a call here with Chief Madry, the police commissioner. I expressed to them, Chief Shaw, this is what the school wants. We had a quick TAC plan here at One Police Plaza, and then we went out to execute that TAC plan. What did that TAC plan look like? We started out with the community affairs officers going in there as the LRAD was playing. That's the announcement that the strategic response group plays over there, the loudspeaker, that the NYU is asking you to leave the campus. You're in trespassing, yada, yada, yada. That did not work. We then sent in the SRG team, and they went in there to start making arrests.
Well, just tell us what the SRG, what's the SRG team, Commissioner?
Strategic response group. So let me say this, and I spoke with these SRG captains, Lieutenant Sergeant, and a couple of officers, and I personally observed this. I observed the school, the faculty, you know, the professors, the people that worked in school, they made was like an arm bar chain, which prevented the SRG officers from actually going into start affecting the lawful arrests and start asking the protesters slash students to leave. And I got to say that they were the most aggressive out of all of the individuals and students that I've seen there.
So are these, Commissioner, are we sure these are students? These aren't like paid agitators or anything like that, right?
No. These are, I'm talking about the first 10 people that we encountered that did not let us go onto the actual plaza were teachers, professors.
Oh, really?
Correct. And let me say this. If any one of my officers now spoke to the general public the way the faculty spoke to the officers, they would get a CCRB.
What are these guys on their minds? Oh, I shouldn't say guys. I'm sure they were men and women, right, Chief Commissioner?
Artie, if you want consequences, you want real consequences, anyone spewing hate language, probably should be expelled and or fired from that school. It's one thing to protest what you believe in. That's the First Amendment, right? But when you're spewing hate language, anti-Semitism, any kind of hate, you shouldn't be in that school. End of story. Those would be consequences, and that would wrap this up quite quickly.
And let me jump in there, John. when so they extract those 10 to 15 faculty members, then they go in and start extracting the rest of the students that did not want to leave. As the officers were doing this, they were getting objects hurled at them, bottles. And some people say they were empty bottles. No, I got hit in the shoulder with one of these water bottles. And I remember from the George Floyd protest that they had some sort of acetone into these water bottles, which burnt my skin. So that did not happen. And I don't think that happened in any one of the other incidents where the officers got hit. But when you start throwing bottles and projectiles and picking up metal tables and throwing chairs, you can go into my social media page. I put down an actual video compilation of the peaceful air quotation mark protest that was conducted at the NYU educational facility. You can see one of the officers getting struck in the head with a metal chair. Thank God he had his helmet on, because he would have definitely been removed to a local hospital where he would require probably staples from getting hit from that projectile. And to the individual protester / student that threw that metal chair at the officers last night, we will find you, and I said it before on the Channel 7 show, you're going to have the full weight of Police Commissioner Edward Caban's department looking for you. And when we catch you, you're not getting a ticket like everybody else did. We made 133 arrests last night. You are going to be processed as a regular criminal, because that's what we label you as. When you throw an officer, when you throw an object, a metal chair,
absolutely, absolutely,
you're not a protester.
100%. I couldn't agree with you more. I only got 2 minutes left, Chief Chell. You know, we heard Commissioner Daughtry bragging about Chief Kemper and what's going on underground and how crime is looking pretty good down there. How are you faring above ground?
The department's faring well. Crime is continually week to week going down. Our violence is probably one of the best in the country going down. Transit, we were plus 46. Now we're down 5. That's remarkable. It's a 51% turnaround. So things are working well. We wish you'd go down faster. I always say, what does it tell you when we have wrecking enforcement across the board? It should be going down faster. That speaks to recidivism. But we like where we're heading. I think the commissioner said before, this is all about our cops universally working their tails off to protect the city.
Well, now we got, we've had Kemper on, we've had Chell on. We now we add a new person to the Idala Power Hour arsenal with Deputy Commissioner of Operations, Kaz Daughtry. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you finding the time.
Can I go back to one thing, Artie?
You can do it. It's your world. I just live in it. Go ahead.
When the cops, I think Commissioner Daughtry will agree with me on this one. When the cops came up to you to talk about your clothes, was that a positive conversation or they didn't like your clothes?
Can you elaborate on that? They were blown away. They were blown away by my sartorial splendor. They were like, "Dion, you look good." I'm like, "Thank you. Thank you very much." And by the way, did I mention they were all female police officers? Oh, sorry. I left that part out. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. We got a commissioner and a chief. I really appreciate you two guys. Chief Chell, don't work too hard. You might hurt yourself. All right, folks. That slams the lid on things here on a Tuesday night on the Arthur Idala Power Hour. Matt Sambolin, Joni Pelzer. We had the police on. We had a retired judge on. What a great show. I hope you all have a great night. If you're bored and you want to throw on CNN, I'm supposedly going to be on tonight from 8 till 11, on and off, on and off. So it'll be an interesting evening for me. I guess it'll be another night without dinner, but that's okay. All right, we love you. Have a good one. See you tomorrow.
The Arthur Idala Power Hour is sponsored by Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins, PC.